I'd invite you please to pick up a Bible, and if you don't have one, please raise your hand and a steward will bring you one for our Bible readings this morning, which are from Luke's Gospel. First of all, Luke 11, 1-4, which you'll find on page 1042, and then over the page, Luke 12, and we're reading from verse 13 to verse 21. So Luke 11, beginning to read at verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then turn over to chapter 12 and verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God." This is the word of God. I'd ask you please to open your Bible with me once more at Luke's Gospel and chapter 11. And this morning we've reached the third phrase in the Lord's Prayer as recorded in Luke's Gospel, the phrase, "Give us each day our daily bread." I want you to think about something very simple with me, something as simple as a torch. Now, when the batteries of a torch run out, and we've all known that experience of going to switch it on and the batteries aren't working, what we discover is this, that the order of the batteries in the torch is actually very, very significant. The light only works if the batteries are put back in the order that they were designed to be in. I want to suggest that the Lord's Prayer is a bit like a torch. The order of its parts is significant and deliberate. In recent weeks, we've discovered that after addressing God as Father, which is a great privilege because of the cross of the Lord Jesus, after addressing God as Father, our Lord Jesus teaches us that we should start our prayers desiring the honoring of his name and the coming of his kingdom. So it's as if battery number one is, "Hallowed be your name." Battery number two, I've got to make sure I've got it the right way around. Hang on a minute. I've done it. There you go. Battery number two is, "Your kingdom come." And battery number three is give us each day our daily bread. Shall we see if it works? Oh, it does. It does. See? There you go. It does work. Excellent. Now, this order teaches us a very important principle. That as a general rule, our prayers should begin with God and his concerns rather than with us and our concerns. In our thinking, there should be nothing more important than the honouring of God's name. Nothing more important than the coming of his kingdom. They should be our priorities. But that does not mean that this third phrase, give us each day our daily bread, is unimportant. Because the God we're taught to pray to as Father is the God who delights to give good gifts to his children. As we make his honor and his kingdom our primary concern, well, he loves to make our practical and material and personal concerns his concern. And this section of the prayer teaches us that our loving Heavenly Father delights in it when his children come to him and ask him for the practical needs for every day. Let me sum up in its context what this part of the prayer says. Disciples are asking their Heavenly Father to give what they need for each day as they make his honour and his kingdom their priority. Well, let's unpack that a bit, shall we? I want to do so by giving you four statements. Statement number one, this is a prayer for daily necessities, not selfish luxury. So to use the visual aid that we had here a moment ago, it's a prayer for bread, not for birthday cake. All right? Bread is symbolic in the Bible. It sums up our basic material needs. It represents what we need day by day, things like food and clothing, housing, heating. Our Lord Jesus is saying, look, we are to ask God for life's daily necessities. But that's not the same as asking for selfish luxuries. Will you turn back with me to Luke 12, that parable that we read? We know it as the parable of the rich fool. Look at verse 15. The Lord Jesus is warning us against all kinds of greed, of thinking that life is all about owning as much stuff as you can. Then he tells this parable, the farmer. He thought that the quality of life is measured by what you own. So when his ground produced a really good crop, well, he didn't think of sharing that crop with others. No, no, no. Instead, he tore down his existing barns, he built bigger ones, and then reckoned that with plenty of good things stored up for himself for the years ahead, he could eat, drink, and be merry. Now, before we're too critical of the man, isn't that the kind of situation some of us would love to be in? Some years ago, I had a conversation with a young man. I was playing golf with him. I'd never met him before. And he told me that his ambition was to make enough money by the time he reached his mid-40s so he could retire early, take life easy, and play golf. Now, perhaps it seems attractive to some of us, perhaps not the golf bit. But perhaps that is the ambition of some of us. I'm going to make enough money so I've got enough stored up so then I can just relax and enjoy myself. Notice what our Lord Jesus is teaching us to pray. He is not teaching us to pray, give us funds to store up for the future so that we can have an easy life. He says, when you pray, pray for your daily necessities. Look how the parable of the rich fool ends. While the rich fool was saying, well, I'll take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Verse 20, but God said to him, you fool. Thinking like that is a foolish way to think. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be, said Jesus, with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. And I hope you're following, because will you now look at verse 22? Because we're going to read what Jesus said. Jesus then turns to his disciples and he wants to encourage them. Look what he says, verse 22. Therefore I tell you, my disciples, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows what you need. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, the gist is clear, isn't it? As we seek first God's kingdom, God promises to provide us with all that we need for each day, whether it be food or clothes. And daily necessities is all that we need, because we know that our true treasure is in heaven ahead of us. That treasure in heaven is God's gift to us because of the cross of Jesus. Now, will you think with me for a moment of your recent prayers? I'm presuming that you do ask our Heavenly Father to give you things. What have you been asking him for? Have you been asking him for daily necessities or for selfish luxuries? Are we content to have what we need for today, trusting him to provide what we need when we need it in the future? There is something in us all that wants to store up and think, well, if I get this now, then I'll be safe then. Do you remember the people of Israel? Exodus 16 records how God rained down bread from heaven for the people. It was called manna. Significantly, the bread was to be eaten on the day it was given. It wasn't to be kept over for the next day, except on the day before the Sabbath. There were those who tried to keep the manna from heaven so they could have it the next day. But they discovered that if they kept it, it became full of worms and smelt rotten. It was daily provision, enough for each day. And it was all on the basis that God had promised to provide enough for each day through their trek through the wilderness, and he did every day for 40 years. And mysteriously, you can check it out, it didn't matter how much the people sought to collect on any day, what they gathered was exactly what they needed each day. Jesus teaches us to pray, give us each day our daily bread, that we might ask our generous Heavenly Father for daily necessities. There's a great prayer in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verses 8 and 9, and the writer prays, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise I might have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God." And that leads on to the second statement. "Give us each day our daily bread" expresses humble dependence, not proud independence. Think again of the rich fool. He had no regard for God. He was selfishly and proudly independent of God. And that is the opposite of what is to be expressed as we pray these words day by day. The word "daily" could mean either "give us our bread for today," or it could be "give us our bread for tomorrow." But however you interpret it, it points to everyday dependence. Now, remember where we are in the story of Luke's gospel. Our Lord Jesus is preparing his disciples for his return to heaven. He's preparing them for the mission that he's entrusting to them of proclaiming him and the message of his cross and the relationship he brings us into with God to proclaim that message to the world. What is he teaching them? He's saying, look, as you go in obedience to my command to honor my Father's name, to extend his kingdom, you can rely on him. You must depend upon him to provide you with what you need. Just a few chapters earlier in Luke's gospel, Jesus sent the 12 out on a preaching mission. Listen to what he said to them. He said, "Take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money, no extra tunic." Now, the Lord Jesus isn't telling us universally there that practical provisions are wrong in themselves. But what he seems to have been doing was teaching his disciples at that point a conscious dependence upon God. There's not one of us here this morning who doesn't need to avoid attitudes and lifestyles which weaken or make us lose sight of our dependence upon God. It's very easy to forget that dependence in a world where our material security, in this country anyway, is something we take for granted. But as we pray, as the Lord Jesus teaches us, "Give us each day our daily bread," it's meant to remind us that everything we have and everything we need comes from our Heavenly Father. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, hang on a minute, but where does daily work fit into this? Well, to depend upon God's provision is not in conflict with earning our daily bread. The Bible encourages us to work hard, but to do so in reliance upon God. Work and the ability to work are part of God's provision for us. So praying, "Give us each day our daily bread," includes asking God for the ability and the skill to work to obtain everyday practical necessities. Now, sometimes the simplest things are the things that help us most. And may I suggest that one simple way of keeping our dependence upon God in mind is that habit of giving thanks to God for the food we're about to eat. Doing so deliberately and carefully, not glibly or carelessly. So I'm not talking about, you know, for what we're about to eat, may the Lord make us truly thankful, let's get it over quickly and now we can eat. No, a genuine, deliberate, "Father, thank you for the food on this plate. Thank you that it reminds me that you are the one who meets my needs, that I am a dependent creature, and that I can trust you to provide for me and my family day by day. When the people of Israel no longer needed manna because God had brought them into the promised land, God warned them like this. He said, "You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." Giving thanks before we eat is a simple way of reminding ourselves that our success in obtaining the necessities of life is not due to our skill and our wisdom alone, but is due to God's kind and faithful provision. The third thing, this prayer, we can pray it with confident boldness, not hesitant timidity. Will you turn back again to chapter 11? Because after giving us the Lord's Prayer, Jesus tells this little story, and it's an odd story, of a man who knocked on his friend's front door at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I've nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. I can identify with that. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." "I tell you," Jesus says, "though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." The point is clear. If we're disciples of the Lord Jesus, we may ask God with similar boldness for what we need. And we can be sure that the one we ask, he is not only our friend, but he's our loving Father, and he's willing to give us. So look how Jesus goes on in verse 9. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened." I think that sometimes we think it's presumptuous or impudent to ask God to provide for our relatively small needs, about the rent perhaps we've got to pay, or the gas bill that comes in, or the car repair bill, or the cost of the children's shoes. But look, the Lord Jesus here is saying that is what our Heavenly Father wants us to do. He wants us to pray for our daily bread, our daily necessities, with confident boldness. A confidence in the love that our Father has for us. I remember last year, sitting upstairs, talking to someone in one of the staff studies who was in great need, and they were in genuine need. And I remember saying to them, "The Lord has promised to provide for you." And I remember thinking at the time that my words felt very glib, because there was me, and I got enough money to buy food for my family, and here was someone who was in genuine need, and I said, "The Lord will provide." And I must admit that in my heart, I didn't really believe the Lord could provide. And I remember praying with this person that the Lord would provide. And by the end of the week, the Lord had provided amazingly in ways we could never imagine. Because our Father wants us to come to him and say, "Lord, I need what you alone can give." We turn back to Luke 12 again. I want to show you something lovely in Luke 12. Those words of encouragement to disciples. If you're a disciple, these words are for you. Look at verse 22. Look what Jesus says there. He says to his disciples, "Do not worry." Now scan down to verse 32. He says, "Do not be afraid." And in between that, "do not worry" and "do not be afraid," he uses two of what I call his "how much more" arguments. So look at verse 24. He says, "Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn. Yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Then look at verse 27. Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do you see the logic? Our Father loves us. We're valuable to him. He knows what we need. And he is able to provide what we need when we need it. And do you want the ultimate proof the Bible gives that God will provide us with what we need? Well, the ultimate proof is the cross of our Lord Jesus. Romans 8:32 puts it like this. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? The reason we can come to our Father with confident boldness is because we can be confident of his loving provision for us, which is proved by him providing for our greatest need through the death of his Son in our place on the cross. Lastly, give us each day our daily bread. Please note, it is an us, not a me prayer. Give us each day our daily bread. Our natural bent is to be self-centered, to focus on our needs, my needs. But as we pray this, we're to pray for each other. We're to have others in view as we pray and to keep them in mind as we receive answers to our prayers. There is a sense in which we're not allowed to pray, give me each day my daily bread, because God gives us our daily necessities that we might then give in turn to others. You see, God does not want us as disciples of the Lord Jesus to be like that rich fool who thought only of himself. But rather, he wants us to be like the friend in the parable who gives his bread to his friend in need. The Bible teaches, and Nathan calls this the giving go-round, that God answers our prayers for each day's needs, that then we may be able to help supply what others need. That's kind of the way God's economy works. Listen to James. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? A worthwhile motive for earning money through employment is to use what God gives us to provide for others in God's family. Those of us who are better off, and that's always comparative, those of us who Paul writes in 1 Timothy are rich in this present world, well, we're commanded to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. The daily necessities God provides are to be shared. I read of a Christian, his name was Dale. All right, and it was said of this man called Dale. Dale gives his money away, but God shovels it back again. Now, that's actually biblical. Because Christian giving is one of the paradoxes of the Christian life. Earlier in Luke's gospel, listen to Jesus. He says, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured in your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be given to you. And so as we pray, give us this day our daily bread, it's right to be praying, Lord, give to me that I might then be able to give to others, that I might be part of your provision for others. And it's right too that we should pray, as a congregation of God's people, simply as a word of testimony, and not to embarrass our treasurer, but for the last 2 years, he's told us at the elders and deacons meeting, we're going to face a deficit again this year. And for the last 2 calendar years, God, in his kindness to us, has meant that we have broken even as a church when it comes to income and expenditure. And that is all an evidence, isn't it? That God gives us what we need. He doesn't ever say, I'll give you more than you need. Sometimes does. That's great. But he says, I'll give you what you need. Are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus this morning? If you claim to be, are you living as someone whose treasure is in heaven? That's what Jesus died to give us. Treasure in heaven. Knowing that we have treasure in heaven, we don't have to spend our lives storing up for ourselves wealth here. But he does call us to spend our lives praying, give us this day our daily bread. Trusting that as he does, he'll give us all that we need to serve him, his name, his kingdom in our generation, including being generous to others. And if you're not yet a disciple of Jesus, you need to stop thinking that this world is all there is and put your trust in the Lord Jesus who died to give sinners who don't deserve it eternal treasure in heaven with him.